This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to A Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarrow. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is A Funny Feeling Podcast.
Hello, my Betsy.
Hello, my Marcy. Hello, my Marcy. Hello, my spooky stories.
Yeah. How are you, Bets?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
Today, I thought I would talk to you about the Coronado, the Hotel del Coronado in San Diego.
Oh my God. Okay. I feel I've heard the name.
Oh.
But I don't know much about it.
I mean, it is an iconic hotel in San Diego. It's like this big, sprawling white hotel on the beach with a red roof.
Oh,
You've
my God.
You've probably seen it. It was featured in the Marilyn Monroe film, Some Like It Hot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the Coronado.
Now I know what you're talking about.
But more, what you're talking about, more specifically, I'm doing this one at this time because we're on the Thanksgiving train.
Is this a spooky haunted turkey?
It's a spooky haunted turkey tale. So the Hotel del Coronado in San Diego, California, is a beautiful hotel. It's one of the nicest hotels in the country. It's surrounded by beach and palm trees, sun,
yes,
sand. The hotel's attracted the rich and the famous and the wealthy.
Maryland, dude.
I mean, the real Maryland. Who's who. So the hotel itself was built in 1888.
Okay.
On the beautiful island near San Diego Bay. 4 years later, Kate Morgan checked herself into the hotel under the assumed name Lottie Anderson Bernard.
Okay.
And never left.
Oh, no.
So the 24-year-old arrived on Thanksgiving Day.
Spooky. Okay.
And she stayed for 5 days and then killed herself.
Oh.
At the time, no one knew who she was. They called her the Beautiful Stranger.
Whoa.
Also, there's a book about her
called The Beautiful Stranger.
That's from
Madonna.
From the Austin Powers soundtrack.
Yeah. Spice Shag Me.
Well, that song is about her.
Oh, my God.
Eventually, they figured out who this beautiful stranger was.
Wow.
And they uncovered a tragic love story.
Oh.
So she was married, but she was estranged from her husband. It was surmised that she had arrived at the Del Coronado hoping to have a rendezvous with a lover.
Oh.
So Kate had been employed as a domestic, like a housekeeper in wealthy Los Angeles household. From there, she traveled by train to the hotel where fellow passengers reported that they saw a woman matching Kate's description in an argument with a male companion.
I know.
And then he deserted her en route. During her stay, Kate was described as sickly and sorrowful.
Oh.
Also, though, but people were like, she was so beautiful. So, I mean, I mean, does she look sick and sorrowful or beautiful?
I mean, some people think that's hot.
I mean, like, Kate Moss made it famous, right?
Oh, yeah.
The heroin chic.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Let's see. Okay. So she ventured into San Diego. She bought a handgun.
Oh, yeah.
And the San Diego coroner later confirmed that Kate had died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Oh, my God.
So people, so guests who stayed there have experienced her gentle spirit on the third floor guest room where she was staying.
Oh, my God.
Visitors say they have seen flickering lights.
Ooh.
A television that turns itself on and off.
Oh, my God. What channel?
Hulu. I panicked and said Hulu.
That's great.
I panicked and said Hulu.
Hulu
channel. Let's see. Breezes coming from nowhere.
Oh my God.
Inexplicable scents and sounds.
Ooh.
Items moving of their own accord.
Oh no.
Doors that randomly open and close.
Oh my God.
And abrupt changes in room temperature. Unexplained footsteps and voices.
Busy.
I mean, she's a coming to go. Honestly,
but that's what I would, you know, I would constantly be just knocking over stuff, opening doors.
You'd be like a drunk ghost.
Moaning. Yeah.
You're like, just, paranormal researchers have been called in to investigate and have documented supernatural activity using their infrared cameras, night vision goggles, radiation sensors, toxic chemical. I mean, they have a whole
Wait, what's toxic chemical
indicators?
Thing?
Maybe.
What?
I don't know. A toxic chemical indicator.
Okay.
You don't have one, you gotta get one.
I gotta get one. How am I gonna know if there's a toxic chemical around?
You won't have an indication at all. There have also been Kate sightings in the hotel's hallways and along the seashore. Another very active area in the resort's gift shop. Items will fly off the shelves.
Oh, yeah. And we're not talking about because they're popular.
Yeah, not because of their great pricing.
Yeah.
But they never break.
Ooh.
So someone's just like,
snow globe.
Put it down gently.
I remember I was on top of the Empire State Building and I broke a snow globe and I was so scared and I just like swept it under... under the shelf that was holding all the snow globes.
Well, I thought you were about to tell me a horrible story about you dropping it off the side.
Oh my God, no.
And I killed 38 school children.
Yeah, if you drop a penny, it can split someone in half.
I can cut them in half.
Let alone a snow globe.
If you drop a penny,
it'll slice them all the way down in half, hot dog style.
If a feather falls off the Empire State Building... it'll kill a whole town in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Gotta go.
It's so pretty and nice. But so the age of this wooden hotel and its closeness to the sea may contribute to some of the reports of moans and murmurs in certain rooms and hallways.
Oh, yeah. The sea is spooky and loud
and
as hell.
And it's salty and
humidity. And just gusts of wind.
Absolutely. So it could be the chill in the air from the ocean fog. But many believe that strange occurrences are caused by spirits, ghosts, and poltergeists. One of the more compelling stories in May of 1983 involved a secret agent there to protect the then Vice President Bush on an official visit to San Diego. The agent did not last the entire night in the room 3502, which was not I don't know whose room that was.
Whoa.
He complained of feeling a breeze and seeing billowing drapes despite the windows being closed, gurgling sounds, and finally a ghostly glow that clung in the entire room.
What?
But, you know, people think this is not an evil ghost. This isn't a malicious ghost. It's just a sad, scorned woman who couldn't live without her love. And then more than 125 years later, her story is still told. And it's part of the Thanksgiving legend for those who stay at the hotel.
Around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. But it seems like it's such an old hotel that it could have more than one ghost.
I'm sure there's more.
And it's enormous. Like,
if it was built in 1888...
Yeah.
It's got a lot of ghosts.
Guys, it's chock damn full of ghosts.
Every hotel is. We've talked about this. Every hotel.
Every theater is full of ghosts.
Every theater. Every hotel.
Yeah.
Every old fort.
Every old fort.
Every
car dealership.
Every car dealership. A lot of spooky deals.
You won't believe it.
Marcy, that's so good.
Thank you.
We gotta spend some time there.
Oh, I think we would love to. Also, like, I was looking up some of the like information. It was like, back when it opened, you could get a room and a bottle of Veuve Clicquot for $2.
Oh my god.
It was so funny because it used to be like an all-inclusive resort, so it was like $2 a day for your dinner and drinks.
Jeez.
God, I would go.
God, we would have been so rich back then.
If all it took was $2 to get rich.
I wish.
Oh, God, I'm swimming in pennies.
Yeah.
Fucking Scrooge McDuck.
You got 4,000 pennies, dude. How
shit.
Many is that?
That's like $400.
$400.
Nope, I can't do math.
No, I can't either.
I think it's $40.
$40?
Let's see. No, nope, I tried.
400 pennies is $4. Right? 100 pennies. Oh, fuck.
We're so stupid. Make sure that you tell your friends to listen to these two idiots on this podcast.
Two dum-dums trying
to
do math.
They're the dumbest women in the world. They can't do math for shit. So just tell them to come on over, rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah.
And send us your own ghost stories.
Please send us your ghost stories
alien
or whatever
experiences, Bigfoot sightings.
If you've been to a really cool old hotel, let us know.
Tell us the legends and lores that you know.
Yes, we love that so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Moisey.
Thanks, Bitsy. Oh yeah, Bitsy.
Alright.
Were you about to rip
all
into
right.
your yeah, I thought so. I can feel it.
Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Or snap into a Slim Jim.
Or snap into a Slim Jim.
Well,
oh yeah. Snap into a Slim Jim.
I am very excited. Betsy is very excited.
I'm so pumped
to welcome our guest.
Yes.
She is a fellow podcaster and comedian. Ooh. Her podcast is Woman of Size, Jana Schmieding.
Hi. Yeah.
Did I get your last name right? Because
yeah.
I think I didn't know there was an N in it for about a decade.
Well, there's an ING.
Yeah, but I didn't know there was an N in the ING.
Oh, so you thought it was Schmiedig?
Yes.
Weird.
For a decade.
That's a first. That's a first.
Schmiedig. For a
usually
decade.
It's Schmiedling. As if there's a little version of
Schmiedling.
It's a long one. It's a hard one. I get it.
You know, names are hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a teacher for many years, and so I told my kids to call me Ms. S.
Yep.
Ms. S.
Ms. S.
Just like keep it simps, kids.
And all of my favorite teachers are like, call me just Mr. B.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's like, hell yeah.
Jana, tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, what's your podcast?
I've been on it.
Ooh.
Marcy's on the first episode.
Sweet.
My podcast is called Woman of Size, and it's a really, it's a comedy podcast that takes a bit of a activist lens, looking at body-based and size-based discrimination that women and genderqueer people experience.
Yeah.
And I had a first season, and then I capped it off.
Yeah.
At a 36-episode cap. Because it's just me doing
it's
it
so
all
cool.
by myself.
I cannot imagine if, producing it by myself would be so hard.
It was. Yeah. It's very hard. It was way more challenging than I anticipated it being going into it. But I met some incredible people and learned a fuck ton about, you know, my own body, the identity of being a fat person, which is definitely an identity because it incurs a shit ton of discrimination in our society and our culture. And I'm going into next season. It's going to launch in the new year. And I'm going to get even deeper.
Yeah.
I'm going to get even fatter, baby.
Yeah. We're back we're fatter than ever.
Even I'm fatter. I'm back and I enjoyed several holidays.
I was going to say, right after the holidays, a little bit fatter.
Need this podcast now more than ever. I think on your podcast, we talked about there not being any fat ghosts.
Yeah.
We never see a fat ghost.
You never hear about people saying that ghost was fat.
Big ghost fat was ghost. Fucking fat.
Yeah. I heard her big fat steps.
Yeah, you never hear, like I said, I'm hearing fat steps right now.
It's pudgy fingers reached out for me.
Yeah, it is always like skinny.
Yeah.
Which, like, ugh.
Yeah,
but like, and then you're like, witch. I'm not scared of that ghost. Like, that ghost does not scare me. That ghost does not even deserve to be in this house.
Yeah. I wouldn't fuck that ghost. I'm not scared of that ghost.
Yeah, I'm only scared of the ghost I'd fuck.
Jana is a sort of voice in the, oh God, how should I put this? Like, you raise awareness and you're one of the vocal people in my timeline talking about Indigenous peoples and rights.
I am a Lakota native.
Oh, cool.
So I am a, I'm a mixed Lakota and white person, but I identify with my nativeness because I was raised as a native person. And I consider myself to be part of the native community in Los Angeles. There is a native comedy community, which is wild.
That's awesome.
I know. And we have such little representation. Like, it's so such a fucking crying shame. But like,
whoa,
shout out to the native comedians here in LA, like killing it. Killing it on, like, not the main stage, unfortunately.
Yet.
But yeah.
Yet.
A lot of my content is native themed, especially lately. Yeah. And I'm always trying to talk about native issues because else is talking about it.
You're not just one of those 23andMe natives.
No, I'm not an Elizabeth fucking Warren.
That's like South Park episode where it's like, I'm 0.2% victim.
That has been literally a joke in native communities since I was a child. I'm telling you, people have been telling that joke that like every white person is part Cherokee.
Yeah.
Every fucking white person has Cherokee blood. It's a fucking problem, man. I think it's hilarious. It's a hilarious problem. But like, I did a podcast a month or two ago where I was invited to talk about native issues, but it's a comedy podcast. Uh-huh. So I went to the person's house who was hosting it, and like I walk in the door, and I've never met these people before and they've never met me, so the guy was like, hey, really nice to meet you, so glad you could be here, like, thank you for coming, so you're Native American, but like, what's your percent?
And
like, that was the first.
What? That would be so. What if you said that? What? Like, what if you said that? Okay. Also, I just want to stop and say this to our listeners at home. If you're like, but I did that, don't get defensive and mad. We're not mad at you. I mean, I'm not because I'm a whitey.
Figure it out.
But hey, you can just do better.
Yeah, I think you know. I will say that I have gotten that question so many times in my life.
What percent?
What percent? What fraction? How much blood do you have? All of that shit.
Like, understand, like, a child asking their parents that just so they know. Because I remember I used to be so curious about, like, what I was as a child.
Yeah.
I'd be like, a lot of times they're like, you have to do a family tree.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I'd be like, how, like, French are we? And how, like, you know, like, it was a big deal when we found out that we're not Cajun.
Oh no!
We're just French.
Yeah.
So that means that our family did not migrate through Nova Scotia and Canada They just came from France.
Like, Cajun went through Nova Scotia?
Acadia up through,
I didn't know that.
I had no clue.
Yeah. So, told a lot of jokes that maybe I'm not allowed to.
I think it's, I totally understand the desire to want to know your heritage and your lineage, like, that is a normal thing. I think the problem with Native identity is that the enrollment rules are shift from nation to nation, and it's more of a political belonging than it is a DNA belonging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because all indigenous groups, many of them are federally recognized, some are not, and that makes us our own, we have our own sovereign nations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, whether or not the fucking federal government, like, play, you know, feeds into that idea, even though there are treaties that created them, that means that I cannot take my 23andMe to the Cherokee tribe, say, and be like, what's up? Let me in.
Let me in.
My card, because there are fucking cards.
You can literally be a card carrying member of a nation.
You can be enrolled. Now, whether that enrollment system is a very, it's a paternalistic, like, settler imposed, government imposed rule. Like, it's not native nations being like, you know what, we should have enrollment.
You know,
it's more for people, originally was for people created by this thing called the Dawes Rolls, which was white people enrolling in native people in tribes so that they could give allotments of land and mineral rights.
Course. I'm like, my mouth is agape because I'm like, I don't know none of this.
Yeah.
Of course, we weren't told any of this.
No, nobody teaches this shit in school.
Nobody does.
We so stupid.
I mean, yeah. We are so stupid.
Your job on this podcast is not to school us on everything. You're allowed to.
I don't
mind. You can
mind.
Do as much as you want.
I don't mind, but.
When we're recording, I'll probably release this just so listeners, a little peek behind the curtain. We're gonna release this around Thanksgiving, so I thought it'd be a fun one. For Deanna, since you know, it's that time of year where it's we've talked about it together that, like, this is a very traumatizing time of year. Fall is ruined for you.
Fall fucking sucks. I think for a lot of Native people, I love the season. And my birthday's on November 10th, and I'm a Scorpio, and so I'm really proud of that.
It's your moon right now.
It's my fucking moon! And the, you know, it's just like, it's one way after the other. It's like Columbus Day happens, and this was the first inaugural Los Angeles Indigenous People's Day, but before that, it's always been Columbus Day.
Uh-huh.
New York will never fucking change it. but yeah, it's always Columbus Day, and then it goes right into Halloween, which is sexy Indian costume time.
I was that last night, sexy Sitting Bull.
Kidding.
No.
I was like, Betsy?
Are you kidding? Of course not. I was a, like, hot dog.
A sexy dog or a hot dog?
Just a straight up hot dog.
I was a big titted hot dog.
A big old titty hot dog.
No. So sorry for you, Dodger dogs. You feel like you've been appropriated.
And then we go right into
Thanksgiving, which is a celebrated, you know, we celebrate the pilgrims. That has a really weird traumatizing effect on me because I think as a young child, probably most of us, I had to do a Pilgrims and Indians pageant as a kid, and it really...
That had to be so fucked up coming from
It's so fucked up!
Like, you're like, it's in my home, I have someone who is Native American, and now you want me to go dress up with feathers for a banquet?
Well, my mother was not having it, I'll just say that. So we ended up doing a lot of, like... local educating. So I spent my childhood basically teaching the white kids in our small town about our heritage every year this time of year. So, you know what? I'm used to it.
You started teaching at a young age.
I very much did.
All right. So, okay. We're going to mute this for the moment.
Great.
But it can always pop up when you want it to. And I'm going to ask you the question that we ask all of our guests when they come on this show, what, if anything, do you believe about the paranormal?
Oh, my God. I basically believe it all.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the paranormal.
Yeah.
The one thing, like, I believe in fucking psychics. Like, I believe that we are surrounded by the souls of the past and perhaps the future. I believe that, like, the fucking space-time continuum in which we are currently existing may not be the only reality. I believe in fucking UFOs, bro.
Thank you.
Cryptozoology, I'm big time into it. I'm not sure about Loch Ness, but yeah. I'm not concerned.
I tell you what,
I'm not too worried.
Of all either the way. Cryptozoology, Loch Ness is like the one that I'm like, I hope. I mean, it's a lonely experience for Nessie, but I hope she's real.
I do too.
I do too.
I think she's adorable and I like her. Yeah. I hope she eats people all the time.
She's basically a dino.
She's a dino.
She's a little dino. Yeah. Which is awesome.
Dino DNA.
She got dino DNA.
So I wanted to. So you believe in the full spectrum of things.
Full spectrum. I have kind of a weird aversion to. I think it's creepy, but I don't necessarily believe in demonic possession, and I'm not sure why, but I'm going to assume that it goes back to its attachment to religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you grow up religious at all?
I did not. I come from somewhat of a Catholic background, and I went to Catholic preschool and kindergarten, but then my mom quickly got me right out of there.
Oh my God. The sentence Catholic preschool
I know.
Is so... Whoa, man.
Yeah. I know. I think it's pretty popular, especially in small towns,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
I mean, of course. You're like, you take my kids? Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, we didn't really go to church. I went to a lot of church camps with my friends, like, in middle school and shit.
Yeah, okay.
which, in my humble opinion, is not so much about indoctrination. It tries to be, but it's more about fucking fingering and making out, baby.
yeah, it is.
Looking at boobs and talking about periods.
A lot
man.
Of religion is getting kids to finger for 5 to 10 years. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Just finger each other. Don't have sex.
Just diddle the whole thing.
Just finger.
You can use your hand as much God. As you want. So now we're going to come back to... one of the things that we hear all the time on this podcast and every fucking story is like, it was an Indian burial ground. And excuse me for using the word Indian. I do know the difference. But that's like the thing that people say, that this is Native American land.
Oh, God.
And it's like, I know that all of the United States was, you know, Native land first, but not every fucking house can be on an Indian burial ground, right?
No.
It's crazy. Like, think of how many cemeteries we have currently today, and we have so many more people.
I mean,
there's just no way that there could be that many, right?
There's just also we are assuming that all indigenous nations buried their dead in the ground, and that's also not the truth. Like, I've heard about you know, Alaskan tribal nations, like indigenous people of Alaska, or like different indigenous nations who like just leave the body on the ice for predators, you know, it's like, or, you know, who are scared of the body, or some people don't mind the body, you know, there's like in my tribe, in the Lakota tribe, because we were a plains dwelling, you know, migratory people, we had elevated burials. So
whoa,
it was like
four
poles and a plank, and we'd wrap the body and it would exist in the air.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yes. And sometimes it was kind of a mass grave, but like, I think it's also like, to me, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about this lately because it's Halloween, and I watched the show Haunted. Did you guys watch that yet?
Have you watched
I've watched the first episode.
You haven't watched the second episode.
The second episode is so upsetting.
So upsetting.
What happens? Well, I mean, I'll watch it.
Can we spoil it? I don't know.
Let's not spoil it completely, but you learn pretty early on in the episode that the adult woman who's telling the story is telling the story of a father who was a serial killer.
Wait.
Right? Is that the one you
have? Okay. I saw that too.
And it's
where they would like see him like carrying bodies out.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Night and shit, right?
He's a psychopath, right? He's like a psychopath, and she attributes his serial murderingness to demonic possession. Mm-hmm. However,
which is very nice way to not blame daddy.
Right.
Oh, but that's
There's like, I won't spoil it any further, but you can be your own judge. I love to believe people's stories. And one thing I will say about the show Haunted is that almost every storyteller on that show seems in some way or another traumatized.
Oh, yes. Well,
yeah, because the first one, I've only seen these two, but yeah, the first one starts with that dude, that kid seeing a dude get hacked with an axe.
Also, it's like all done in like group therapy. It's like a, it's like family style therapy.
Yeah.
Where like they're sitting in a circle in comfy chairs with like their friends and loved ones and like family members around, and they're telling the story. And some of them, because I watched the whole series last night, you know, I like to party.
That's all I do with it, baby.
And some of the, like, a lot of their family members are like, what? Huh? Well, like they've never heard of it so for the first time. So it's kind of intense.
It is kind of intense. And especially the second episode. But I will say about the second episode is that the first sentence out of the storyteller's mouth is, I grew up in upstate New York. Our house was on an Indian burial ground. And then it goes into the whole thing about the dad and the demonic possession. And I'm like, wait,
that has nothing to do with it. Like,
because what it does, what she doesn't, maybe she realizes it, but like, or whether or not she realizes what the woman is saying is, there's something here that was left behind by Native people that is evil, and now it affected my family.
And that's why it's messing up my dad.
And that's not fair to do.
It's not fair. I have been kind of writing this essay. I'm sure it's going to be released, so check it out. Well, I don't know when, but I've been writing this essay about this, and I've been doing a little bit of research about the Indian burial grounds, which literally has a IBG, like, abbreviation, because it's been talked about so much in people's writing. Like, you can find articles about it on AV Club and shit. I mean, whatever. IBGs, it's a real thing. And now we're in like such a like time where like South Park makes fun of it and Family Guy, you know, it's like a trope, whatever. Right. But I tried to think about what are the roots of the Indian burial ground. It started in like the late 70s with Amityville Horror, and like The Shining has an Indian burial ground. A lot of people think Poltergeist has one, but it's not explicit in the movie, or they don't ever actually say that. There's one other that I'm not thinking of. But basically, I'm thinking about, coming from my research, I'm thinking about what is happening in Native communities at this time. What is the psyche of white people in relationship to Native issues that wants to create this trope, right? Yeah. And what I've found out is that, you know, the 1970s was a time in Indigenous communities, that entire decade was essentially one big long movement called the American Indian Movement. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but do some research. It's very fascinating.
Talk about the scoop.
The 60s scoop is in the 1960s, but as a response to the 60s scoop, massive amounts of economic disadvantage happening on reservations, just like just poverty, like a lot of legal determinations that are being made for Native people, not by their community. The civil rights movement launched this specific movement with Indigenous people called the American Indian Movement. And there are a number of things that happened during the 70s. One is the occupation of Alcatraz, which you may have heard of, when a lot of people went to Alcatraz and took over that island and were saying, like, this is Indigenous land. We demand fair treatment, blah, blah, blah. Another one is this, the kind of uprising, I guess you would say, at Wounded Knee, which is a small town in South Dakota, and also the site of a genocide, like a massacre, in the 1800s. Ugh. And the FBI came, and it was kind of this like very violent battle between Native activists and the FBI. People were killed. Anyway, there is just this kind of uptick during the 1970s of Natives being extremely vocal about what we need to continue to survive on this land.
Yeah.
And we are sovereign nations, and we are speaking out, and blah, blah, blah. And I think that it created this kind of like weird sympathy from white culture about Native issues. And as we know, sympathy is an inactive feeling. Sympathy doesn't mean I'm going to advocate for you. It means I am aware and I feel bad.
Yeah.
And it usually ends up manifesting as white guilt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are you going to respond to feeling guilty about these issues other than maybe re-victimizing yourself and being like, oh, no, but they are bad. And when I build my home, my new home, I'm a new homeowner and I build it on this land. Do I feel guilty about it? Is it somebody else's land? You know, I mean, I think it's like that is like digging really deep down into the issue, but it kind of speaks to a level
is
of psyche.
Is it haunted because people are mad at me, a white person?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's what I think. Like, now that you like in the middle of you talking about that, I started thinking, I was like, is it that people were like writing stuff about like they were like hearing these angry voices because like we're angry because we're not being treated fairly. And they just took the anger part of it and were like, they're angry. Their ancestors are angry.
Right.
And they're looking for vengeance instead of being instead of justice.
Right. Or that we want to, you know, basically revisit the trope that Native people are evil as was originally sold, that Native people are savages,
right.
They're immoral, they're not Catholic. We have to indoctrinate them into the Catholic system. Like the Jesuit missionaries are the original, like, boarding school owners and the people who really tried to, like, beat the nativeness out of indigenous people originally. So there is a lot of this, like, what I think is also this weird Catholic shit, which is how you get an Indian boarding school trope that turns into demonic possession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? It's like,
yeah.
And I'll just say this to everyone. Your house, no one has to have died in your house for it to be haunted. And it doesn't have to be on top of an ancient burial. It can just... It's not saying
and
that
to be
not,
honest, there's probably a lot of bodies...
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
That we don't know about.
It could be a white person's burial ground.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You heard us. You heard us. Your white grandma's dead.
I feel like if it's a demonic possession, it probably is.
I mean, demons can't be human anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think. Because, like, you know.
Did that, the whole, like, IBG thing, that did start in the 70s?
Yeah.
That
I think
is so
Amityville Horror,
wild.
The written version of Amityville Horror, I think was in 72 or 73.
I mean, and I get why they were like, there's a lot of, like, because, like, that land was all taken from Native Americans. Like in Long Island, New York, Manhattan. That's all like
that's all indigenous land. And I think it's interesting. Like I think there's an article you can find that's about Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
And when Stephen King wrote Pet Sematary, there was a land rights issue happening with the Shinnecock tribe on Long Island. So or in the realm of where that took place.
Like
so,
Maine or what, I can't remember.
I don't know. I never, you know, I'm just trying to like explore the idea myself. And I'm the kind of brain that I'm like, I need to know the root.
No.
The context of the whole thing so that I can like debunk it.
Yeah.
You know, when I find it. Anyway.
I think it's so interesting because it doesn't like, you just don't need that qualifier. If you think that your haunting is delegitimized by just being normal non-burial land.
Totally.
Then it's not. Just believe it, guys. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back. Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those. And now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/afunnyfeeling.
All right, we are back. You have taught us so much. It's just the tip of the iceberg.
It's blowing my mind.
I love talking about it. I think it's fascinating to understand why we tell certain stories.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so important.
Especially about the unknown. Like, the unknown and is fucking fascinating.
Passed down from, like, generations and generations of people who were maybe scared of someone who lived outside the gates.
Exactly. Of course.
Yeah.
And exactly. Scared of people who are like, I don't believe in your God or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, then you're evil and you do crazy shit out there. Right? It's
100%.
Like,
we were saying during the break that in Chucky, in Child's Play, that it was like the root of it was that like it was a voodoo curse or something.
Yeah, I think the serial killer does a voodoo like chant to put his soul into the Chucky doll.
Oh, God.
Also, if you watch The Princess and the Frog, there's the voodoo king.
Yes. I mean,
and there are
Weekend
plenty
at Bernie's too.
There are plenty of people who practice voodoo who are not malevolent.
No!
No. Also, hoodoo and voodoo are not the same.
What's hoodoo?
It's another religion.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
I didn't ever think
they were the same, but I didn't know that hoodoo was a religion.
It is. It's another island religion.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But
cool.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I mean, it's different.
Guys, we're learning so much.
We're learning. We're scared.
Have learned is that being Catholic makes you believe in ghosts early.
And gives you OCD. A lot of people OCD.
Really? Because of there's a lot of like number, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like three times.
Being like, I need to knock three times.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Four times. Like, I need to do 12 knocks. I'm getting better. It used to be really bad knocking on wood, where I would have to do it four times, so 12 total.
That's some straight
and
up
And then
OCD.
If I didn't do it, I thought something bad would happen. Not necessarily God related,
right?
But
just like,
it started there.
You
it
would just
totally
like
started
trip
there.
A little bit on the way out.
Well, I'll trip on the way out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, yeah, it's because I didn't knock on wood 12 times. It's okay. I'm working on it.
You know,
getting
I feel
better.
Like, there, and a lot of people have like little trimmings of repetition things that they have to do. I think at least.
I definitely have a weird sidewalk walk, like a don't step on the crack situation. Mm-hmm. I have also similar spatial like OCD-ness where like if I'm driving, this is so, I'm not even going to talk about it because it's literally so stupid. It's just so
I mean, I'm with you. I do a lot of weird,
my brain
stuff.
Needs to make patterns.
When I was younger, I would not go to sleep if the It's like I had a rule, like if it was past 11 p.m., I would not go to sleep if the number were on an odd number.
What?
If it were on an odd number, I had to stay awake until 3 a.m.
Holy shit!
You couldn't just wait for it to change and then close your eyes real quick?
No, I had it was like a certain time of night that I was like, well, if I haven't fallen asleep yet, I have to wait up to this time of night.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh,
three is so late.
Yeah,
it's because I was worried about when the witching hour.
Oh my god!
Wait, yeah. Is three the witching hour?
Yeah.
Like 2 to 3.
So if I didn't go to bed before, I forget what it was, but so many weird rules that I had. And I'm so glad that I don't have a clock in my room now.
Yeah.
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 Because you would think about it.
Yeah, I would still as an adult.
What is what happens at the witching hour, like normally? Is it different for every person? Known hour
that spooky things happen? Well, there is like a time of night that people wake up. Like that's just like a thing that happens. Mm. I think because the human cycle is like... not long ago, we would go to sleep at like 8 p.m., wake up around 2 or 3.
Right. Oh,
that's
yeah.
when people would fuck and read.
Hell yeah. By nothing candlelight. Like a 3 a.m. fuck.
And then go back to bed and wake up when the sun was up.
Yeah. And then go out to their farms and feed the chickens.
Oh, so many chickens.
All those chickens.
Boy. Right at sunrise.
I got Taco Bell at the witching hour last night.
Dressed as a hot dog.
Very scary. Yeah, I think I was still in my outfit.
All right. So tell us, Jenna, do you have a story you want to share with us?
I do.
Yes.
And of course, I'm not going to stray from this indigenous themed show at all.
Great.
My story is actually about Sasquatch.
Yeah. I'm so excited because we not had a Sasquatch story yet.
You've never heard?
Have you ever heard of Sasquatch?
Have you never heard? I've heard, but I've never heard a person I know.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I will say that I think that I would have a lot more spookier stories if I had grown up on a reservation, because spooky things happen out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that like the reservation that my grandparents are from, they're from two different ones, and they're both in South Dakota, and they're both that's where a lot of like government testing happens, and there's a lot of UFO activity out there that people talk about, and
the Black Hills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, spooky.
I also know a lot of people from north, the Southwest, like the mm-hmm. Diné people, and you know the Navajo tribe down in real like A-bomb testing territory.
Wow.
That also experience a lot of UFO phenomenon, but something that is unique to the Pacific Northwest. I grew up in Oregon, like in a small rural location about 20 miles south of Portland, called Oregon City, which is an old pioneer town.
Hell
oh
yeah.
My God.
Oregon City.
Oregon City. Yeah. I'm sure it was haunted as fuck. There were all these like historical homes and shit. And it was out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like,
yeah.
Now, where did we go to that wedding?
You went to...
Sorry.
You were in the Pacific Northwest.
We were in... Was that wedding was in like the woods in Oregon.
Yeah.
That place was... Boogie.
That's like where similar environment in which I grew up.
Okay,
so imagine that it's like
okay. We were
misty
just,
gray.
We were just
kinda
east
rainy.
Of it, though, of where you grew up. Then,
yeah. I don't remember where his wedding was, but yeah. So yeah, Oregon City was mostly rural, so people have like cow mm-hmm. fields and sheep fields, and there's a lot of forest out there, and it is known, especially among the indigenous tribes of the Pacific Northwest. I think that this particular breed of Sasquatch originates from the Coast Salish people, which is up in Vancouver, BC. Unceded Coast Salish territory, as the natives call it. And so I think the original name for Sasquatch is Sasquets. S-A-S apostrophe Q-E-T-S. Susquets.
Susquets.
And it's... But, you know, a lot of fucking places have a lot of indigenous places around the world have Sasquatch stories. You know, the Yeti is like...
Yeti, the abominable snowman.
Yeah, like these are like in Indonesia they have one. Yes. And, but like everywhere.
They got the skunk ape in the south, in the southeast of the United States.
Exactly.
Skunk ape?
Yeah, skunk ape.
Ooh. Yeah, similar shit. So I think...
That's what a redneck wants to... They don't have a beautiful sounding name. They're like, skunk ape.
That's a skunk ape.
I saw that skunk ape coming out of the swamp. My people, hi. I literally have a redneck, yes.
Yeah, so I think what I
do.
That's true. Always he does have a redneck.
I think it's a blushing issue.
It's part of your heritage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think, so yeah, what I've learned about the Sasquatch is that, especially the Pacific Northwest version, uses the Pacific Coast Trail, which is this mountain range, the Cascades that go down the Pacific Northwest. You can hike the Cascades, you know, it's like called Pacific Crest, I think.
Oh.
Pacific Crest Trail? I don't know. It's just like a mountain range, and the Willamette Valley is within that mountain range. It's a valley area, valley territory. So they use that to like migrate north to south from Vancouver, BC down to like Northern California. Okay, so cut to Oregon City. This is did not happen to me or my family, but a close family friend who also lived in Oregon City. So the father, his name is Bob. Bob told us this story about back in the 1980s, he was building his home on their land. So he purchased property out in Oregon City, a huge plot of land, like beautiful, sits on a hilltop, and then like 3/4 of the way around the property is like lined by forest.
Oh my god.
There's like a steep decline to like a stream. Ooh. And then on one side of the property is a cow pasture for somebody else's property, so there were cattle in the area. And he told us about building the home. So he's a contractor, construction worker, like a carpenter. He's, you know, the kind of man who is able to somehow build his own home.
Isn't that awesome?
What the fuck?
Isn't that awesome?
My parents are literally contractors, and I'm not positive they could do it by themselves.
I think he probably had friends, but
right,
then
but
there
even
were
still, it seems hard.
It seems fucking hard, especially if you saw this house. It's like this beautiful two-story, very open floor plan, like windows on all sides. You can really like look out onto the property. It's beautiful.
Oregon's so pretty.
Yeah, it's like wooden so awesome. And just like
so green.
So green. Very rainy.
Yeah,
it's like
the
rainforest. Anyway. So this one night, it's like a summer night in the 1980s. This is before his kids were born. He is on the roof, like doing some work, hammering things down on a roof, as one does.
Whatever you do on a fucking roof, he knows that.
You know, quit hammering the up there. You're gonna make the holes. Yeah,
he's making a roof. And he hears this distant, high-pitched, human but inhuman scream.
Ew. That's the creepiest description. Human but inhuman.
It's too loud to be a human. It is a bellowing scream that is miles away, but he can hear it, and it's just like a fucking... like as if a... inhuman thing is screaming at the top of his
lungs. Oh no.
So he hears it. He's like, fuck, what was that? Never heard it in his life. And that, you know, he like tells his wife, Deb, hey, did you hear this thing? Did you hear this sound that I heard earlier? She was like, no, I didn't hear it. He's like trying to describe it to her, and she's like, that's crazy. I have no idea what you're talking about. So, a couple weeks pass, you know, he kind of forgets about it. he's walking around the property one day and he finds a huge pile of shit.
Oh my God.
Now they live right adjacent to a
human but
cow.
Inhuman shit.
They live adjacent to a cow field. So of course the first assumption is, oh, it's a cow shit.
This like, is a cow patty.
Yeah, cow patty.
Cow patty.
Because it looks like a big pile. But he's like, it was not cow shit because it had cherry pits and small rodent bones.
No.
And
that.
I know.
Ew.
But one time I did see a video of a cow mindlessly grazing and it accidentally ate a chick.
Oh, a baby chick? A
yeah.
baby?
It was like a cute little farm setting and this cow's mindlessly grazing and the chick runs right into its path and it just
oh my
and
God.
And kept chewing and chewing like, what is that?
Dude. That's some weird grass.
That's bloody
knocks
grass.
Up a fucking feather.
Burp. Okay.
Yeah. I think that
it was the Chick-fil-A cows, actually.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, yeah. More chicken.
Sorry. Good. Back to your scat.
I feel like he also said, like, I just assumed it was cow shit, but it was on our property and the cattle are enclosed in a fence and they've never gotten out, you know, and like run around the property. So he's like, this was like, I've never seen shit like this before.
This shit was bananas.
This shit was bananas. And he like, I don't know if he took a picture of it or whatever.
I do. Whoa. Every time I take a shit.
Snap.
Send it right to my doctor.
Oh, God. How am I doing?
Is this okay?
I don't know. I'm worried about it.
Is this okay?
Is it bad?
Ropey enough? Yeah. He told a couple friends about this incident, and then one of his friends sent him like a series of books about Sasquatch and like what people have known, you know, like just like little books about the studies of Sasquatch. Anyway, I remember reading them at their house when I was a kid and just being like, oh my God, tell me more. Like, every time I went over there, I would like rush to the bookshelves and be like, what, tell me about the Sasquatch again. But he, so one night he was, you know, weeks pass and he's sleeping in that house and he is, you know, next to his wife, Deb, and he hears the fucking scream again and he wakes her up and she wakes up and hears it too.
Oh my,
they both hear it.
God.
And
Bob, Deb.
Bob and Deb heard a Sasquatch. You know, and I think like ultimately that is like the end of the story. They didn't really have any incidences after that, but that's when like they started to do a ton of research and be like, oh, that like we live in the Willamette Valley and this is like a trail for the Sasquatch. And it's highly known that
so crazy
Sasquatch is like uses this, like a lot of sightings have been in the Pacific Northwest. And
is it known that they scream like that?
Yeah, like it has been researched that that is the sound that they make, but only finding out this after the fact, you know, like what would you think it was?
Well, the only other thing I would think it would be a mountain lion.
Oh yeah, they scream.
They scream like they sound like women
screaming.
Have
you seen Annihilation? Did
no.
you see that movie?
No. A mountain lion screaming?
There's a part that's Rose reminded me of your story, but we don't need to go to that.
But
if you never
it's truly described like a woman screaming, but louder than a woman. So,
yeah, I think that this was more like not as a woman, but as a man's
like a guttural loud.
Yeah,
that is so horrifying.
And just like echoing off the canyon.
Yeah,
God.
That's creepy.
That is so creepy.
So fucking creepy. And, you know, I've heard, growing up, I was friends with a lot of people from the tribes in Oregon and Northern California. And I have a friend who is a Yurok tribal member of Northern California. And she told me once that the Yurok people or the natives of Northern California. And I don't know if I'm quoting her correctly, So please correct me, Northern Cali folks, if you are saying this is not true. But they, I believe, have a lore or some kind of experience with mini Sasquatch.
Cute!
Yeah, like half the half tall Sasquatch.
I want one.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and they're like known to be little tricksters, kind of.
Yes, of course they are.
That's like those little puckwudgies that are on the, in Northeast America. From I forget which tribe that is. It's in, it's like that Nantucket area, whatever. I just can't remember because I have a bad brain.
Oneida, Onondaga. I don't know.
Don't know either. My brain's bad. But they talk about these little, I think they look like a little Sonic the Hedgehog, though.
Oh. Little blue, spiky.
Well, just like a woodland creature that's like smaller and like furry and like walking upright.
Little tennis shoes.
A sexy attitude.
A sexy dude. Sunglasses sometimes.
A spicy little guy.
And they're like, don't stand by cliffs because they'll push you off.
Whoa, that is not a trickster.
They're like, ha, this is a prank.
It's a funny prank.
You got poked. Mean little dude. Prick.
Whoa.
You little puck wudgie.
It is so interesting of like with like Yetis and stuff where it is just like, well, why would it?
Yeah.
Why like, would they be
so
everywhere?
Many people have,
you know, I think about that
the
too.
The lore about it.
Yeah. And I always am thinking about the roots of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know, because we really underestimate the length of time that indigenous humans have occupied land. We really, really only think about it from what we've seen in TV and movies, and we forget that humans have been around for thousands of years.
We only think about it like I think in America from when the first settlers got here.
Yeah,
that's so we think that's when they were here.
Exactly.
In the 1500s. We don't think about the 1500 years before that they were here.
Yeah,
and the years before, you know, 0 BC,
right?
Like, you know,
and before
human,
like in humanoids were hairless and, you know, what we think of as how humans look now, you know. So I don't know, could it be that the two had existed, coexisted at the same time? This is just something that we continue to carry on, or that there are surviving members of those last species of man.
Oh, that's fun to think about.
This is truly like an episode where it's just like, we got to learn more.
About everything.
I feel so bad about that
sometimes.
No, it's awesome.
I think it's the whole point of that's why I think these things exist in the same plane as us, to challenge us and to like make us think more about.
Yeah.
What
I mean,
could
why
there be?
Not? Why not unravel the mystery a little bit and then you get deeper into it? It's not like I'm answering any questions here. It's like, I don't fucking know where Sasquatch came from, but
it's fun to think
it's
about.
It's fun to think about that people were seeing Sasquatch thousands of years ago and maybe with more regularity. I mean, can you fucking imagine?
Did I ever tell you about the theory that they're just... the reason why you've never found a dead Sasquatch body is because they're teleporting from another dimension.
Aliens.
I have heard that as well.
I could get behind
and
that.
And I can get behind that.
They are from, are Chewie from Star Wars.
Yeah, they're just their own race of beings.
They're just a bunch of Chewbacca moms.
Yeah.
Remember Chewbacca mom?
Chewbacca mom.
Yes. 2 years ago.
For like five.
She's an alien. I knew it.
An alien mom.
Yeah. I mean, there's that too where I'm like, I always think, I wonder, and here's another rando theory that I think about, is are what we consider to be, for example, gray aliens, right? Are they the future of humankind, still kind of humanoid, that are coming back to research
their
ancestors?
What we did wrong.
Blew my damn mind.
I don't know.
Oh, shit, man. I gotta go to bed for a few days. That's wild. I like that.
Because
too.
They have giant heads, huge brains that can do a lot of teleporting
and
shit.
And sunscreen has gotten really good in the future.
Yeah, or they don't even need it anymore.
Burn.
They're just like Their skin is made of plastic.
Turned the color that like.
Whoa, that's wild.
That's still fucking creepy. I think that's the one thing that I'm most afraid of is alien abductions. I have prayed. Scary.
Did you watch? Is it the last episode of Haunted?
Sure did. And it scared the fucking shit out of me.
From my area of the woods. She's from Shreveport. But she talked a lot about abductions. Yes.
Ooh, and that's spooky.
And I won't go into it too much, but I will just say the interesting thing about Haunted is, you know how like almost every, like if you watch like I Survived or Celebrity Ghost Stories or any kind of, it's like, and then it never happened again.
Yeah.
And it just went away. None of these stories end that way.
Nope.
They all end with, it'll never get better.
Yeah. I pray that it won't happen again, but I have no idea.
Yeah. They all end. And also like so many of the family members are like, what? They're all like half panicked. It is a fascinating psychological look at the types of people that have these stories and how they're affected throughout their entire lives and how their families receive. Interesting.
I feel like the title shouldn't be Haunted. It should be like Tormented or something because they're truly troubled.
I think they're also, they pick people specifically to be like, are they haunted or do they need therapy?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because they do.
And we all do. I just went earlier.
It's a good thing.
I was like, I know when I don't have stuff to talk about, you're just gonna make me cry. And that's what she did. And she's like, it won't always be this hard. I was like, will we ever just get to laugh about stuff? She was like, no. Well, I don't know. Bye. Have a great week. All right. Are you ready to listen to a ghost story?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready, baby.
Let me get one for you.
Hi, girls. It's Madeline. I love the show. So I wanted to tell you about something that happened to me back in 1985. Yes, I'm probably old enough to be your mom. I was 18 years old and I was house sitting in San Pedro, California. It's my first time ever living on my own. Now, 1985 is when the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, was running around L.A. And Northern California killing people in their beds. So we were all very much aware of this. And but I was, you know, I was so excited to be on my own and first time, you know, out in the world. And anyway, I had been out one night and I got home and I had just gotten into bed and I heard the kitchen door open downstairs, open, closed, heavy footsteps like a man wearing boots coming across the kitchen floor and then up the stairs and then into my bedroom. Now, I was turned facing away from the open door, so I thought it was Richard Ramirez. I mean, you would have too if you were there. And I remember, well, two things. Number one, I just froze because, you know, it's not always flight or fight. Sometimes it's freezing like a bunny, which I did. But also I had heard that if somebody breaks in your house and you're alone, you should pretend like you're asleep, which, you know, I don't know if that's the best advice. I'm not giving anybody that advice. But anyway, the thing stood there, the man, whatever, for a long time. And I finally, I mean, my heart was pounding. I finally just couldn't stand it anymore. So I turned around, leapt, you know, 3 feet in the air. And I said, what do you want? And there was no one there. So then I got even more scared because I realized it was not a person. It was something else. So I ran, I was wearing a nightgown, ran out of the house, got in the car, went to my friend's house, never slept in that house again. I just had to go and feed the cat sometimes. But anyway, when I let the people know, the homeowners, that I wasn't going to be staying in there anymore and why, they kind of said, oh, yeah, We have had experiences too, because we do exorcisms inside the house. And the lady told me that she had twice been walking up that same staircase and felt something that felt like a monkey jump on her back. So that's my story. Love you guys. Thanks for all the laughs and keep up the good work. Bye.
Madeline.
Monkey? That just kept heightening. Oh, so hard.
God.
Honestly,
exorcisms at our house?
Why the fuck?
One, Madeline, fucking great story.
Good, amazing. Goddamn story.
You tell details in a way that made me... we were freaking out.
We were really,
it was a really short,
it.
Succinct story, but yeah. Like, holy
also,
shit.
Bringing me back to my true, honest-to-God feeling that human men are scarier than any ghost
every
could
time.
Ever be.
Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Much
like,
so.
Oh, my God.
Holy
I can't imagine
shit.
Truly just laying in bed and being like... The fucking wait, Night Stalker is in my
fucking
room.
You were really nodding when it was the stay asleep.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Because I've heard that before from like, because think about it. If someone's in your house at night, they're most likely trying to rob you while
Even
you're asleep.
Even if there's like the Night Stalker going about.
I mean, yeah, they could try to kill you, but
with
you're
the bat.
But your best bet is to not go confront them.
True.
That's true.
Your best bet is to try to like lock yourself or hide under your bed or.
Oh.
But like, but going to confront someone in the middle of the night in the dark.
Yeah, your chances.
Bad unless news. You have like, and there are like, there are apps that do this. If you heard someone in your house and you have like one of those smart homes, you could turn all your lights on at once.
Oh.
And that might deter someone,
yeah,
possibly.
Fuck.
But I mean, getting out of bed to go fight someone who's in your house sounds like a bad idea. Whereas if they like peek in your room and they're trying not to, they're just like, I just want to steal a TV.
Yeah.
I just got to figure out how to unmount it.
if they, damn like, it, it's hard.
Peek in your room and there's a sleeping person there, they would probably not do anything.
Whoa.
Because most robbers aren't murderers.
Yeah. You know, I lived in a house in college with three other of my friends who are still my friends, and one of them is my sister. And I feel like college is this weird time, and especially living close to a campus or something. Mm-hmm. There is like, we were broken into one time and we were robbed in the middle of a night, and it was the night of a party. So we were like,
some,
you know, people had left
kid.
And we just assumed that it was like a drunk person took like my video camera, a bunch of my videotapes, my stack of CDs, and a bunch of shit. But there was one other night that I was laying on my couch. I was the kind of roommate who, when everybody else was like, let's go to the club, I'd be like, I'm gonna be here smoking bong rips and chilling with this big fat cat that we have.
Yes.
I'm gonna watch Sex and the City. And I was like laying on my couch watching TV, and the girls had gone to the club, and I heard the doorknob turn. And so I turned to look at it, and I saw the end of the turn and the door go and just open just a little bit. And
what?
I go, hello? To, I assumed that it was a friend, or
yeah,
the girls were like, we're back or whatever.
Yeah.
But nobody fucking answered.
What?
And I was, like this woman said, frozen.
I feel freeze is a
yeah,
very popular one that we don't talk about often. Of
yeah,
like fight or flight or
yeah,
fucking freeze.
Yeah, I was literally like, in my mind, I was racing through the scenarios of, okay, where's the closest thing? Like, who's going to walk in?
Yeah.
Am I going to know them? And if I'm not going to know them, what the fuck? You know, like,
yeah,
why isn't the door
next?
Locked?
Yeah.
Or, you know, all these things. So eventually, after literally like probably 2 minutes, which felt like an eternity, I got up from the couch, walked to the door, like looked outside and was like, nobody's here, and closed the door and locked it. And I immediately texted my friends and was like, get your fucking asses home right fucking now.
They're like, look up back after we do one shot. We're going back. Jenna needs us. Jenna, we gotta go help her. That's always so much scarier. But also a monkey-like creature jumping on your back.
Oh no,
that's a mini Sasquatch.
Yeah,
that's a mini Sasquatch.
That's a what is it?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Puckwudgie. Oh, I don't know what
that's
fuck.
So that's so spooked in for them to be like, oh yeah, we do exorcisms, like. No, that should be the first thing you tell everybody all the time.
You're leaving? Is it because of the ghost? Did I not mention the ghost?
God.
Oh, boy.
Good story.
That was really, really good.
Holy shit.
Jana, tell everyone where they can find you and all your things.
Well, my biggest thing right now is this podcast. You can find it on womanofsize.com, or you can follow me on the socials at womanofsizepod on Twitter, Facebook, Insta. It's all there.
Yeah. Also, you do a really, like, I think the podcast is really great because it, like, gets into some deep, heavy stuff that's fun.
Yeah.
You do it in a fun way, but her live shows are just all fun.
Yeah.
They're fun and they make you think, but they're mostly just like a really great variety show. And I do a bi-monthly
live show, Woman of Size Live, where I try to amplify the comedy of women of size in the comedy community.
There's a lot of funny fat ladies.
There really are. Yeah. And we do not get enough love, in my humble opinion.
I just remember you played a really fun game where we made men in the audience like answer questions about women.
Oh yeah.
And they're like,
that's a popular game. It's called Not All Men.
Not All Men. Not All Men.
That is so funny.
It's truly a fun show. You got to check her out. Jana, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That was awesome. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.